Praise God. I want to mention that when we get churchy, when I say churchy, you've got to know what I'm talking about. When we come to service after service and meeting after meeting, many times we lose the connection of what we're here for. And we need to understand that we're not saved just to sit in a pew. We're not saved to just sit down, but to get up and get, and to be busy about our Father's business. Amen. And so I want you to open up your Bibles with me, please, to the book of Romans, chapter 1. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. We're going to begin reading with verse 14. Romans chapter 1, verse 14. We're going to read down to verse 16. Paul says, I am a debtor. I'm in debt. Both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. Both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, and I hope there's something in you too, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth or connects, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I want you to notice verse 14, I am, and I am a debtor. Verse 15, I am ready. Verse 16, I am not ashamed. I want to use for a subject, I am what I am. You may be seated. I am what I am. Someone said that life is like peeling an onion one layer at a time, and most of the time we cry. And that's true. Most of the time we cry. I am what I am. Now, I'm not what I was, but I am what I am. And any good thing that I am is accredited to the person of Jesus Christ, to the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, Paul talks about that in Corinthians. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And notice verse 10. Now in verse 9, Paul says, for I am born out of due time. There in verse 8. And then verse 19, for I am the least of the apostles. Well, you know, Paul said, I'm the least of the apostles. I believe that that wasn't just a humble statement. I believe that he felt least because Paul struggled with his past. Verse 9 says, I am not meet or fit to be called an apostle. Why? Because I persecuted the church of God. Paul dealt and struggled with a lot of his past. And that's why we got so many good scriptures about letting go and moving on from the past. Because Paul struggled with the past. Notice in verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. In other words, God didn't invest in me in vanity, in emptiness. But I labor more abundantly than they all, meaning I give it all I've got, yet not I. It's the grace of God which was with me. And so when I talk about I am what I am, we need to understand that if we're going to be a little I am like the great I am, we're going to need the great I am to help us through. Amen. Now, I'm a little I am, but I love the great I am. And the great I am is, of course, Jehovah, God. Jehovah, the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's the one that took Moses and shook him out of the wilderness and made him go back and do the job right and go back to Egypt and do the job. Maybe God's got some people in this room he needs to shake out of your wilderness and get you back on track again. I don't know. I hope that's not the case. I hope you're all just thrilled about all that God's doing in your life. But notice it says, I am a debtor, meaning Paul says in verse 14, I'm in debt. Now, I want to just simply talk about that for a minute. I am a debtor. Now, all of us in this room right now would say without any hesitation that we are indebted to God. We owe God. God has been so good to us, and we are in debt to God. He's been so gracious and so merciful. But we can't pay God back. The bottom line is, God in heaven is not for sale. What God has done for us, He's done for us out of His wonderful mercy and His grace. And so for us to try to buy back favor with God would be an insult to God. It'd be like if I were to come and, it'd be like for me to bring a big old bouquet of beautiful flowers to Judy. Not because it's anniversary, not because it's birthday, not because it's just a special day, but I just take her a big old bouquet of flowers, and then I have a big box of candy for me. And I take that big old bouquet of flowers and that candy, and I give it to Judy. And Judy says, let me pay you for that. I say, okay, no, I wouldn't. But God gives us things, and He doesn't expect us to say, let me pay you for that. That'd be an insult. Be an insult. And we couldn't pay God back for all that He's done for us. But we are indebted to Him. We're indebted to Him. But what if I was to tell you that this verse 14 isn't saying that we're indebted to God? This verse 14 says we're indebted to, listen to me, Greeks. That includes geeks. We're indebted to barbarians, wise people, and unwise people. Meaning we are in debt to those around us. Why? Because if they're unwise, they don't know what we know. We're in debt to those around us if they're Greeks, and he refers Greeks here to being separated from God, foreign from God, Gentiles, and barbarians, of course, means the worst of all. Heathenistic, pagan. And so Paul is saying, because of God's divine mercy and God's divine grace, we are in debt to those around us. In fact, everybody in this room, I'm sure, has good eyesight. And you can thank God that you're not blind. If you were blind, you could thank God for a million other things, because there's always something to thank God for. But because you could see, and you were to see a blind man or a blind child begin to walk out into the interstate in a busy interstate highway, you're indebted to that child or that person that's blind to stop them, to help them. Why are you indebted to them? Because you have something that they so desperately need. You have something that you can give. And I love the phrase that Paul made, all that is in me, you know, I'm ready. And I'm praying that all of you in this room would grab a hold of that phrase, all that is in me, I'm ready also. And so let's look at this. Not only are we in debt, and I think we are in debt to God, no doubt about that. We owe God, but we don't want to insult Him by trying to pay Him back. We can't pay Him back anyway. But we can show our gratitude by helping the Greek, the barbarian, the wise, and the unwise. Because we have something to give people. As a Christian, we have something to give people. Are you listening to me? As a Christian, we have something to give people. You say, well, yes, amen, we give the gospel to the lost. No, as a Christian, you're my brother or sister in Christ. As a Christian, not only do I have something to give to lost people, I have something to give to you. And that is encouragement. We need to learn the ministry of encouragement. You know, the devil beats us all week long. We need someone to come up to us and say, you know, I'm thankful for your walk with the Lord. And we need to have encouragement, because I grant you the devil is not full of sweet kisses and lovings. The devil is not going to give you a lot of encouragement. He's going to depress you and discourage you. And that's why I believe that God's children need to get a ministry of helping people, a ministry of, you know, being kind to people. So it's not just the lost people that we're in debt to. We're in debt to each other. Remember in the fourth chapter of Genesis, Cain killed his brother, slew his brother, just killed him. I mean, just killed him, graveyard dead, just killed him. And someone said, well, he took a rock and killed him. The Bible don't say he used a rock. He may have choked him to death. I don't know what happened. May have beat him to death with a stick. I don't know. But I do know that however he killed him, blood came out. So I guess he didn't choke him to death. But anyway, he did something to kill his brother. And Abel. And remember, God says, okay, Cain, where's your brother? And Cain says, am I my brother's keeper? And how many know the answer to that is yes, you are. You're accountable to your brother and sister. Amen? Whether it's biological or whether it's spiritual, you are accountable to each other. We are accountable to each other. Amen? We're not meant to live up in the mountains and grow hair where we look like Bigfoot. Amen? We're not meant to do that. We're not meant to go up into the mountains, disappear, and get fat on groundhogs and squirrels and deer and antelope and fish and just hide away up in the mountains, say, I don't want anybody to bother me, and come down, you look like Bigfoot. And in fact, maybe that's who Bigfoot is, someone that's all, you know, hairy, and I don't know. I've seen Bigfoot come into the church a few times. Amen. Come on now. Chuck's looking at me going, he's rubbing his whiskers. Anyway, we're not meant to be separated from each other. We're meant to be connected. Did you know that? We're meant to be connected. And if you ever get the spirit in your heart, well, I don't want anybody to bother me. I don't want to be around anybody. You're going to hurt yourself because we're meant to be connected. Amen? And we need to be connected. Amen? Because if we're connected, then we can go places and we can be encouraged and we can be strengthened. And Paul says, I am in debt. I'm in debt because God has been so extremely good to me. I'm in debt. I'm a debtor. I am in debt to those around me because I have something inside me that they need. That person that thinks he's wise, but he's really not. That person that is foolish, but you know he doesn't know the way. That person that's a barbarian, that person that's a Greek or a geek or whatever you may say, we are indebted to that person. Not that that person deserves God, because I don't think anybody in this room ever deserved God. Hello. And not that that person really deserves you that love God. But that person needs to have a touch from the Lord because God loves them. Amen? You ever heard on television, get what you deserve? You ever hear people come on television, you need to get what you deserve. You deserve a better life. You deserve great things. And I'm thinking all the time I'm listening to that nonsense, I don't deserve any of that stuff. And nobody in this room deserves even to live, let alone fortune, fame, and fortune. But I'm glad that Jesus Christ brought a deserving God of honor into our life. And we deserve him and love him. Amen? Come on now. Can I get an amen in this room? I am what I am because of the grace of God. I'm not what I was. And I am what I am now. And I'm not in the future going to be. I am not now what I will be in the future. God will perfect me on my way. I'm a work in progress. I didn't say I'm a piece of work. I said, I'm a work in progress. I've met folks that are a piece of work, but no, I'm a work in progress. And notice Paul talked about I am, I am, I am. I am in debt. Not just, you know, we honor God, we love God, and we show our gratitude to God, but we are in debt to our fellow human being because God gave us something that he wants us to be highly contagious with. And that don't mean gospel social distancing. And that don't mean for you to wear a mask and no one knows who you are. Hello? Come on now, I'm preaching better than you're responding. Hello? And so, you know, it just simply means that we need to be highly contagious. And I'm not talking about a horrible sickness. Somebody mentioned to me that the Lord had got a hold of me and changed me. He ruined my life. Jesus Christ just tore my life all to pieces. He ruined my sinful life. He ruined my wicked life. He changed me. How many know when God gets in your life, he just messes everything up? Amen? But he messes it up for the good. Amen? And he puts us together so we look right. As a child of God, we are a masterpiece. Remember that song that Johnny Cash used to sing, that one piece at a time? Remember he went into some kind of car manufacturer, Ford, Cadillac, whatever it was. He's going to get, what was it, the Cadillac? He's going to make him a Cadillac. And so he had smuggled out pieces of that Cadillac over the years. And the years went by, and he sings about that Cadillac now has a fin and on one side, no fin on the other side. One light on one side, two lights. No. When God gets a hold of us, he don't put one piece at a time on us where we look like some kind of church freak. Amen? God don't make church freaks. God don't make religious freaks. God makes masterpieces. Amen? Right. Amen? Did you know you're a masterpiece? The Bible says that we are to honor God, and we're to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And the Bible's very clear that we are his workmanship. God's working on us. We are his workmanship. And we are created and made so that we, in turn, can do good works for God. And so, Paul says, I am a debtor to the Greeks, the barbarians, and the wise, and the unwise. How many remember the story, 2 Kings chapter 7, where the four leprous men were outside the city of Samaria, and there was a drought, there was a famine. And the city was under besiege so long that they were eating dove dung and mule heads. And it even got to a place where they ate a baby. I mean, it was so horrific. It was Samaria had been besieged by the Syrian army. And the story is that the lepers were outside the city. And they were sitting there and they were looking at each other because, you know, they couldn't go into the city, at least they wasn't supposed to, because they weren't good enough to go to church. They weren't good enough to go where they were. They were separated because of leprosy. And the lepers say, why sit here until we die? Why are we sitting outside this city until we die? If we go into the city and they kill us, we just die. If they feed us, great. If we go into the Syrian camp and they kill us, then we're going to die out here anyway. And if they feed us, wonderful. Why sit we here until we die? And so the lepers, when they went to the Syrian camp, they discovered that during the night, they thought the Egyptians and some of the other armies had been hired by the king of Samaria. And so they were terrified. How many know God can make you totally freak out? Amen? If you think the devil can make you freak out, wait till God gets a hold of you and makes you freak out, totally freak out. Go bazooka. And they were terrified. They left their stuff behind. They strung silver and gold, and they strung possessions, and they ran for their life during the night. And the four lepers go in, and they find those tents empty. And they go in, and there's one in this tent, and they get gold and silver. And they run and hide it, dig a hole and hide it. They go in and find food and eat it, and then they'd fill themselves up, and then they'd take some food and probably go over, you know, and get ready for the great tribulation and bury it in the ground so they'll be ready just in case they need it. And they ran here and there hiding. The scripture says they'd hide their wealth and hide the things that they'd get because the Syrian camp was empty. And they ate so much and they were so blessed. And the Bible says that they sit outside that camp. And in verse 9 of 2 Kings chapter 7, here's what those lepers said. Then they said one to another, "We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace." We have good tidings as Christians. We have good tidings for the world. And these leprous men said, "Why do we hold our peace? We're not doing good because here we have silver and we have food, we have gold, and yet people are starving to death in Samaria. Let us go tell them that there's the good news, that the camp is full of food and the Syrians are gone, and just run in there and get what you need. There's blessing. And I want you to know, as children of God, we need to tell this world good tidings. This world is hearing gloom and doom all around. They're seeing tragedy. They're seeing problems and persecution. This world is full of a shroud of darkness and depression and discouragement. But Jesus Christ filled you full of joy unspeakable and full of glory. And Jesus Christ put in us the peace that passeth all understanding. Jesus Christ put in us God, and put in us the peace of God and the grace of God. And he filled us with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we need to go out and give people good tidings. You don't have to die and go to hell. You don't have to be destroyed. You don't have to be discouraged. There's a God in heaven that heals. There's a God in heaven that delivers. There's a God in heaven that loves you and cares for you. And that God so loved the world that he gave his son Jesus Christ to wash away your sins, die, and rise again from the grave. We've got good news in a world that's filled with bad news. Amen. And so the story is, the lepers went into the city, and they were still lepers, by the way, but they went into the city of Samaria and said, "Here's the good news." And I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but I want you to know that maybe you feel like a leper. Maybe you feel leprous. But God has done so much in your life that you have something to tell. You have a trumpet to blow. Hello? You have a story to tell. Say, "Well, I lost it." Didn't lose the story. "So I lost the feeling." You didn't lose the God of the feeling. And by the way, if you've lost the feeling, you've lost your way, and you think you don't have it anymore, first of all, you're deceived, you're crazy, you're out of your mind. What God does is permanent and thorough and amazing and incredible. What God does, he does forever. It lasts forever. Amen? And says, "I'm a debtor. I am a debtor. I am what I am by the grace of God." Verse 15. "So as much as in me is," what's in you? Well, a good story about Christ is in you. What's in you? Goodness and mercy and the grace of God. "As much as in me is, I am ready." Now, I'm going to stop right there. I'm ready. Are you ready to tell a world that there's a God in heaven? Are you ready to live for God, serve God, and honor God? Are you ready to preach the gospel, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ? You say, "Well, I'm not a preacher. I am not a preacher. Preacher, don't put that on me. I'm not a preacher." Well, I'm not talking about a preacher. I'm talking about preach. What is to preach? Well, I'll give you a little spelling lesson. Take P off of preach, and you've got reach. Take off R off of reach, and you've got each. And to preach is to reach each of our loved ones for Jesus Christ. That's a simple line. That's the way it is. To announce the goodness of the Lord. Amen. Come on. Can I get an amen out there? My goodness. Now notice verse 15 says, "I'm ready." Ready to die, ready to live, ready to serve God. And notice he says, "I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome." Rome was considered the most horrific place on the planet at the time of Paul. In fact, Rome was going to be that place, and in the end, Nero would sever his head from his shoulders, and his head would fall into a wicker basket. And by the time his head left his shoulders into that wicker basket, Paul was in the arms of Jesus Christ, living and serving God. Rome was burned to the ground. Did you know they took Christians in Rome, and they nailed them to crosses? And then they took pitch and tire, and they covered their bodies. And they used the bodies of Christians and set them on fire to light the city, to give light in the darkness. Well, you know, even in the Christian's death, they still gave light in the darkness. Amen. I want to give light in the darkness. I don't want to give light that way. Trust me, that's not my desire. But I do want to be one that gives life and gives light. And wherever we go in, you know, you can go into a room and you can spend time with people. And when you spend time with people in the room, when you leave, the people that's in that house, when you leave that house, you will either leave with them peace and joy and comfort, or you'll walk away from that house and they'll be saying, "Phew, I thought they'd never leave. I'm glad they're gone." Amen? Now, when I was a young Christian, when you're a young Christian, you do dumb things sometimes. Hello, is anybody listening to me? Back when you could actually go to a hospital and visit people? No, we follow the science now. You can't do that. Well, I got news for you. The politicians ain't following the science either. But, you know, you can't go to the hospital. You know, they want you. That's one reason I ain't going to the hospital. If I get sick enough to die, I'm going to die at home. I'm not going to the hospital, so some big nurse named Bertha comes in there. I mean, when I was in the hospital, I'd been a wreck, and I was in such a... And if you're Bertha, God have pity on me. But anyway, when I was hurt in the car wreck, and they were giving me medicine, morphine, and I was in so much pain. I remember I got to hallucinating. And in that hospital bed, I got to thinking that Gilligan on Gilligan's Isle was in the room with me. And Gilligan was dismantling me and trying to put me together. And I said to that guy in the room, "Get out of my room. Gilligan, you have no business messing with me." And that nurse just lost it. I remember that nurse said, "I'm not Gilligan, and I belong in here." "Get out, you don't belong in here." But I remember when you used to go to the hospital and visit people, and you could go door to door and just say, I'm a preacher, I'll come to pray with you." Now they don't want you doing that because that's not politically correct. You know, you might, God have mercy, you might pray with someone and help them. God have mercy, you might pray with somebody and they actually get healed. And so you don't go door to door in the hospital because they don't let you now anymore. But back when they did let you, I'd go to the hospital and I'd visit. And I'd go in and I'd pray with people in the hospital rooms. And when I'd get through praying with them, I'd, you know, share scripture and spend a little time. And I wouldn't stay too long. One thing you need to know is when someone's sick, don't camp out in their room. Amen. Because you may be worse than their sickness. Don't stay too long. But I'd go in and spend a little time, pray with them, and then I'd walk out. And when I was a young Christian, I'd walk out, and as I walked through the door, I'd just step over and lean back against the wall. And I'd listen. Now, you say that's just carnal. That you shouldn't have did that, preacher. Boy, I tell you what, I was on a roll there for a while. Oh, that's such a nice young man. I'm so glad he came by and prayed with me. And then I stepped aside and leaned back against the door, and this big old grouch in the back, in the hospital bed, he said, "I don't know why that young man come and seen me. I have a preacher of my own. I don't need him sticking his nose in my business." And I thought, "You heathen, I'll never be back in your room." got my feelings hurt. Anybody here had their feelings hurt before? Come on. Well, you can't come to this church very long and not have your feelings hurt. But anyway, I am ready. I am ready to preach. I'm ready to do what God's called me to do. Why? Because in verse 16, notice he uses the phrase, I am, I am, I am. I am a debtor. I am ready to preach the gospel to them that are Rome in Rome. And then in verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why is he not ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Listen to me. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God. You can go tell people about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God. Hear me, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God. Oh, hear me. Somebody in this room, can I get a witness? The gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God. You say, well, what is the gospel of Jesus Christ? He loved us. God sent his son. He died for us. He shed his blood. He became the propitiation for our sin. He who knew no sin became sin for us. He died on the cross of Calvary. He took our death, held in the grave. He went to the tomb. Praise God. Rose again from the grave. Ascended back to the Father. Sit down at the right hand of his Father and said, now if you'll go out and tell people, I died for them. I rose again from the grave for them. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you'll call on Jesus Christ, he'll save your soul. That's the gospel. Amen. I remember as a young Christian, I'd go door knocking. And I didn't have a clue what I was going to say when I knocked on the door. But when I'd knock on the door and I'd start talking to people. And if you're a Christian, you ever led someone to the Lord, here you are talking to them about Jesus, talking about them about the love of God. And all the time you're talking to them about Jesus Christ, you're thinking, where'd that come from? Because all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost is talking and you're not. And when the Holy Ghost starts talking and you're not, then people start listening. When you're talking, they don't always listen. But when the Holy Ghost starts talking, they listen. And so there's been many a time I thought to myself, wow, I hope I can remember that again. This amazing stuff, the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the power of Jesus Christ, the power of God is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it's the power of salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Can I hear an amen out there? Hallelujah. You say such a sorry preacher, you've got to ask for an amen. I didn't hear an amen there, thank God. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. We have another I am. Notice what it says. For that which cause I suffer these things, nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Let me in this room, not ashamed. I'm not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. What day? Any day you want to pick. You pick any bad day and Jesus is bigger. You pick any bad moment in your life and Jesus is bigger. You pick any, and I realize that day is judgment day, and that day is the wrath of God, and that day is the worst of all days. But I want you to know you can pick any day and Jesus is able to keep that which you've committed unto him against that day. Amen? Hello? I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. Hello? Not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not ashamed of the person, Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? You can, you know, I went to a gas station somewhere up on I-44 one time, and this guy was in there, and he was going, Jesus blank, and Jesus this, and Jesus that. And I spoke up and said, well, now that you've got his attention, won't you ask him what you want? He said, what? I said, well, you said Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I said, usually when I do that, I'm wanting to talk to him. He looked at me like, oh, you're one of them. And I said, yeah, I'm one of them. And I said, you shouldn't talk about someone you don't know that way. And he said, well, I don't care what you think. And I said, ain't what I think, it's what Jesus thinks. You gotta be watching how I use his name, because the Bible's very clear that God will not hold him guiltless that uses the Lord thy God's name in vain. He said, you must be a preacher. Oh, I wanted so badly to say, no, I'm not, but I was. And he left. How many know he stewed all the way everywhere? I think he was going toward Joplin, toward Tulsa. And how many know he probably stewed all the way to Tulsa? It bugged him probably the rest of the day. How many know God's people ought to bug people that's not right with God? I don't mean bug them in a way that you're a nasty bug, but share the gospel of Jesus Christ, something that sticks with them, amen? When you go to someone's house, they ought to say, man, I'm so blessed when they come around. I'm so thankful that they come around. It isn't like, you know, when you pull up in your car and you hear someone shout in the house, hide, quick, there's someone in the drive, hide. I remember one time I was out witnessing, and his wife said, would you please go talk to my husband? Because my husband's just got on a drinking bin. He said, would you go talk to him? His wife came to our church. And I said, yeah, I'll go talk to him tonight. And so I went to the house. His wife had already went to the house. And when I went to the house, I knocked on the door. I heard him shout to the kids, quick, the preacher's here. Shh. And when I knocked on the door, he said, who is it? And I said, you just said who it is. I'm the preacher. And I ran as fast as I could to the back door. And I just stood there. And he hit that screen door. It was the summertime. He hit that screen door. Yeah, them screens just pop. And he hit that screen door, pop. And I said, hello, Jerry. He turned around like I'd shot him. He said, you got me. I said, no, I didn't get you. God got you. He was back in church after that and didn't miss church ever until, as far as I know, he stayed in church because the gospel of Jesus Christ got him. Amen. The Bible says that God is able to keep that which we've committed unto him against that day. Isn't that good? I'm not ashamed of Jesus. Can I hear someone say Jesus? Can I hear someone say Jesus? Now let me give you the test. Next time you're in an elevator and it's full, say, thank you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. And see how quiet the elevator gets. Huh? Get around a group of people that's, you know, they're living and they're partying and they're barbecuing, they're drinking and they're just, and just say, Jesus, I love you so much. You're so good. And listen how quiet it gets. Jesus is a name that makes people's heart patter, flutter. Amen? And you just mention Jesus. Amen. Mention Jesus. And it's important that you go to Walmart, and when everybody's at Walmart, and you know, they're following the science, by the way, they're keeping social distancing all gathered in Walmart, and they don't want to get a Sam's Club bug. Anyway, they're out there moving around, and just sometime when you're walking through the aisle, there's people there say, thank you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. And when you walk past them, say, thank you, Jesus. Love you, Jesus. Look over your shoulder, they'll be going, because you're one of them. I'm looking at a lot of one of thems. Try it. Try it. Some of you ain't did it for a while. Try it. Just use the name of Jesus. See how powerful that name is. That name is incredible. And he's able to keep that which we've committed unto him against that day. Go with me one more place. Romans chapter 8, verse 38. Romans chapter 8, verse 38. I am what I am by the grace of God. Notice verse 38. For I am persuaded. Let me in this room persuaded. I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor politicians. Oh, that's not in there. Nor governors. Oh, that's not in there. Nor senators? Oh, that's not in there. Well, maybe it is, nor principalities. Nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Not high things, not deep things, depth, nor any other weird things, creatures, shall be able to separate us from what? The love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Now, you may lose your way, but Jesus won't lose his love for you. You may lose your confidence, but the love that God has for you is in Christ Jesus. I'm glad that he didn't just put his love in us, he put it in Christ. Amen? If he put his love in us, and he did, I have the love of God in my heart spread abroad, according to Romans chapter 5. I have the love of God. But notice he says that nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Isn't that good? It just simply means that the love of God has been placed in Christ Jesus. And if the love of God's been placed in Christ Jesus and placed in my life, then I want to say right now, I want to stay close to Jesus. I mean, I want to stay close to Jesus. Not nothing high, not nothing deep, not any other creature shall be able to separate us, verse 39, from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, notice something it says in verse 38. I am persuaded that not even the graveyard, not even the tombstone, not even death, not anything that is traumatic in life, not an angel, not a principality, not a power, that includes nuclear power, that includes war, it means warfare or germ warfare, or any other creature, no hideous creature, shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. As long as there's a Jesus, God loves me. And there'll always be Jesus. Amen? I have everlasting life as long as God lives. Let me know God lives forever. Amen? I have eternal life no matter what because of Jesus Christ. And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him. Some folks just need to be persuaded. Let me try to persuade you. Spend time in prayer. Spend time talking to the Lord. Let me persuade you. Spend time. The most important position in your life is not what you experience down at the beach on the seashores. It's not what you spend at the barbecue grill. The greatest moment in your life is not, the most important thing in your life is not that new car and you get in and smell that new car smell. The most important thing in your life is not even holding that newborn baby that just came. It's important. All those things are important. But the most important thing in your life is to get in the presence of God and talk to him. You know, one of the things that God said to backslid Israel was simply this, and it's in, I think it's in the book of Hosea. One of the most important things that God said to backslid Israel in the book of Hosea, he says, you bring to me words. You bring to me words. Just bring words to me. You don't have to bring silver and gold. You don't have to bring talent. You don't have to bring fortune and fame. You don't have to bring your skill and your, you don't even have to bring your holiness. Just bring words to me. Just come to me and talk to me and bring words to me from your heart. Just come to me and talk to me. Bring words to me. And when you bring words to me, they are valuable. Let me tell you, friend, when we talk to God and we bring words to God, they're valuable. They're very valuable. You say, how do you know words are are valuable because Jesus Christ said his words were so valuable that heaven and earth shall pass away, but his words shall not pass away. And I want to say right now, the words that I talk to God, the things that I talk to God in prayer when I'm on my knees praying and talking to God, those words that I bring to Jesus Christ, heaven and earth shall pass away, but every word I've ever brought to God from my heart lives on forever. Amen. And so when we gather around the throne of God, all them prayers that we send upward will be there. When we worship and honor God and we spend time loving and worshiping God, we're just sending worship and words and pray to God ahead of time. And right now while we're sitting in this auditorium, we've got a circulation of words and praise at the throne room of God. And God remembers every prayer. I want to say to you in this room, unless you're just brighter than I think you are, I don't remember every prayer I prayed to Jesus. Unless you're just really brilliant, I don't remember every prayer I've ever. In fact, I prayed for our meal, and 5 minutes later say, do we need to pray for our meal? And he said, you just did. I did. I just showed you the beans and taters were speaking louder than my prayer. But come on, don't laugh at me. You do the same thing. Bless God, I remember every prayer I've ever prayed. Really? You must not be praying too much. And amen. One of my grandkids, I don't remember which one, may have been Caleb, it may have been Gunner, may have been Stetson will not shut up. Stetson, he's going to be a preacher, I guess. But one of my grandchildren, I prayed, and I didn't pray very long. I just said, Lord, bless the food of my mouth. And he spoke up. I don't know which one it was. Probably Stetson, may have been Gunner. Spoke up and said, boy, that was short. Never will forget Caleb when he came to my office. I have an office at home, and I read my Bible and study in my bedroom. And he came in, and he looked at my Bible. He said, boy, he said, that's a big Bible. I said, yes, son. He said, what are you doing with it? I said, I'm reading it. He said, boy, God must have a lot to say. Amen. And I said, he does. He has a lot to say. He said, can I have a Bible? I said, you want to read it? He said, can't read it. I said, you can't read it? He said, no, can't read it. But I want a Bible. And I said, why do you want a Bible? He said, because that's God's word. And he has a lot to say. Amen. And I can just look at it. Amen. 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 I have comfort in looking at the book. And I have comfort in reading the book. Amen. Thank God for his mercy. By the way, this book draws attention too. Many would agree this book draws attention. Me and Chuck, we used to go out to dinner quite often. Now they don't let you go to dinner. You have to drive through a drive-thru. You don't even get your sit and go. You can't sit down and eat. Me and Chuck, we go to buffets. And Chuck always had a big Bible. Chuck's right here if you don't know who Chuck is. There's another Chuck back there, but I can't get the Chuck back there to take me to buffets because he's too tight. But anyway, Chuck take me to buffets. And I shouldn't say that because Chuck paid for my meal here a few days ago. But anyway, Chuck would, he always had the big Bible. And Chuck would carry that Bible with him into the restaurant. And I would say to Chuck, we're not eating the Bible. We're going to eat the buffet. He said, I'm taking it with me. And he'd walk in there and take his Bible with him, set it right there on the table. He'd fill his plate. He'd go get him a cake. He'd fill the table. I didn't say a piece of cake. He'd get him a cake, bring it to the table, fried chicken stuff. I didn't say a piece of cake. I mean he'd bring the cake to the table. And he'd bring, I don't mean a piece of chicken. He'd bring the whole roasted chicken to the table. And he'd sit down there with that Bible. Now, Chuck, I'm not lying, am I? I know I'm not lying, telling the truth. And he'd set that Bible down. Did you know all them people wasn't looking at the cake he took to the table? They wasn't looking at the fried chicken he took to the table. They were looking at that black book on the table. And they were wondering, what's he going to do? And I sitting there saying, what's he going to do? And I learned a long time, don't ask Chuck to pray over the meal because he's loud, he's boisterous, and everybody in the restaurant's going to go, what is going on? You used to have a guy take to the restaurant, and he was a kind of a used to be a missionary, and he'd pray for all the missionaries. I mean, he'd pray and pray and pray. And when he got done, I'd say, look, we're not eating the missionaries tonight. Just ask the blessing on the food. Amen? I mean, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we're preaching to it on Sunday morning. There's a time to live, there's a time to die, there's a time of laugh, a time of sorrow, there's a time to eat, and there's a time to read your Bible. there's a time to pray over the food, and then there's a time to intercede for the missionaries. Don't get them mixed up. Amen? I got to stop. I could keep preaching, but I got to stop. Judy says when you get off on them sidetracks, that's when you better stop. And then Judy's a good wife. I love the way she does me. If I preach bad and I tell her, well, I didn't do very good tonight. And she said, we'll do better next time. She is so encouraging, so affectionate. Well, do better next time. Thank you. Stand with me. Chuck, go to your room. Go to your room, Chuck. I'm teasing Chuck. I pick on Chuck. I shouldn't do that. You know, we used to, when we were down on the square, we'd preach, and people would come from Tennessee and Mississippi and Alabama, and they'd come, and they'd walk through the door because they'd heard of our church. They'd listen to cassettes. They'd come in, and the first thing they'd do is, where's Chuck? They wouldn't ask where I was at. They'd walk through and say, where's Chuck? Because Chuck was the one that was, you know, up front and focused. Amen. Chuck, I'm telling the truth. Chuck, liar, liar, lake of fire. Sit down. Anyway, that's true. Chuck's a famous person. I mean, no, God wants to bless your life. We're going to give an invitation. Josh is going to play and sing. And I want to encourage you. Stretch your boundaries. Stretch out and share Christ, and share that good tidings with other people. If you're afraid to, you know, work with people, you know, front, confrontation, personal, you got a Facebook. You can mail a letter. I know that's archaic, but you can mail a letter. You can tell people, amen. I write notes into the electric company. I'll make a little note in the electric company, and usually I pay a little extra above the bill because I don't like to be hit with shocking prices in electric bill. I mean, got hit one with this month, a shocking bill, and I put a little note in it, and they got their wires crossed up, and I had to call the place. It's back when they were on the square, and then they moved to Joplin. That's before they, you know, merged with another company, and the lady on the phone says, I know you. And I said, well, I just told you I'm Pastor Aiken. She said, no, I know you. You're the one been leaving them tracks and them notes in the envelopes. I said, well, do you read them? She said, I do, and I pass them on to other people. There's always a way to share Christ, always a way to expand. We're going to give an invitation. We're glad you came tonight. Maybe you'd like to come and talk to the Lord and say, God, help me, bless me, encourage me, and let me be a little I am, serving the great I am.